Morning. I'm Jeremy Africa, and I serve as the lead pastor here at Midland First United Methodist Church. And I want to welcome you. Very grateful for this opportunity to gather with you this morning. And on behalf of those who are helping to lead worship, including Tyler and Gabrielle, who led our hymn sing this morning, we want to welcome you to this time together. We are grateful for this opportunity to worship. As we begin our time together, I want to lift up a number of announcements this morning, ways to connect with not only the activities of the church, but also the mission of First United Methodist Church. And so to begin with, I'll hand things off to Pastor Bethany, who serves as our associate pastor. She has several announcements regarding youth and children events coming up. Pastor Bethany?
Thank you, Pastor Jeremy. Indeed, I do have a couple of announcements for you. The first announcement that I have for you is we will have our second youth event of the summer this coming Thursday, July 31st. We'll meet here at the church at 6:45 and then walk down to the pedestrian plaza area where Main Street Glow will be going on. That's part of the River Days Festival, and there will be hot air balloons there. It'll be really fun. And then we'll walk down to Tunes by the Tridge, and then meet back here at 9 o'clock for pickup. And then the second announcement that I have for you is that we will have a blessing of the backpacks here in our service on August 17th. And so I invite all of the children, youth, and teachers in our congregation to bring their backpacks as we prepare for the school year ahead. And we want to dedicate that space and time to God as we bless our children, youth, and teachers. And so I invite you to bring your backpacks on August 17th. Thank you, Pastor Jeremy.
Thank you, Bethany. So a chance for our youth to hang out, and yes, a chance for us to think about the start of school. I'm receiving, you know, mixed reactions when I've asked our children and youth how they're feeling about summer vacation, but indeed, it is coming up. Look forward to that opportunity to bless the school year ahead. I, too, have several announcements I wish to share with you this morning. After worship, we will have a Strategic Leadership Council town hall. As a reminder to those who know and to those who don't know, these town hall meetings are opportunities for the church's leadership to share with anyone who wishes to attend information about matters related to the church. And we have a full town hall planned for this morning. We have a report from those who traveled to annual conference. That is the yearly meeting of United Methodists from across the state of Michigan. And so those who went on your behalf will provide a report of what took place. Followed by their sharing will be an update from a task force that is forming to respond to the recommendations that we receive from the Lombard Mennonite Peace Center this past winter. And then I will be sharing a presentation on the appointment-making process. And so that is the process by which clergy are assigned or appointed to local churches. And so if you are wanting to learn more about how that takes place, I invite you to the town hall this morning. If you're joining us online and wish to join us at the town hall, if you go back to your July 11th e-blast, you will find all the Zoom information, the link, the meeting ID and passcode for that. Invite you to join us online. If you wish to see the presentation on the appointment-making process, we will be recording that portion of the town hall meeting, and then it'll be made available to the congregation afterwards. So all ways to interact with today's town hall. The last announcement I wish to bring to your attention at this time is the one on the back, wherein I will be starting on some time of vacation tomorrow through August 10th. Pastor Bethany will be preaching each of the next two Sundays. And certainly, if you have any pastoral care needs or emergencies, I invite you to contact Pastor Bethany or to contact the church office, and they'll be happy to help you get in touch with Pastor Bethany. So even with all this, there is more going on in the life of the church. I invite you to turn to your weekly e-blast in your email. If you aren't yet receiving those, I encourage you to reach out to the church office, and we'll be happy to be sending you those on a weekly basis. With all this, Gracelyn will gather us back together this morning after a brief time of greeting one another. Invite you to remain standing afterward for our call to worship. So invite us to stand and to greet those around us and perhaps across the aisle.
I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise. On the day I called, you answered me. You increased my strength of soul.
Sisters, it is my privilege to ask you to join us in our opening song today, a song that will introduce us to why we are here. We are here so that we can have open hearts, open minds, and open doors so that God can come into our lives and use us as his instruments in this world. So join with me as we invite God to open the eyes of our hearts.
Open the eyes. and we are yours. Help us to be thankful each day, knowing we have so many blessings in our lives. Thank you, Jesus, for your love. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, our helper. Be with us this morning as we make a joyful noise to you. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
What a gift it is to make a joyful noise to the Lord. As our ushers come forward, I invite you to sign the friendship pads at the end of your pews and pass them down so that you know who you're sitting with. We love to get to know our neighbors. And so I invite you to do that as the ushers come forward this morning. Lord, we pray that indeed your praise would ring throughout the earth as these gifts are used for your glory. Lord, we pray that they would be used to lift up and build up your kingdom. We thank you so much for who you are and the gift that it is to worship you in so many different ways. We pray all of this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation this morning. Once Jesus was in a certain place praying. As he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." Jesus said, "This is how you should pray. Father, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. Give us each day the food we need, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation." Then, teaching them more about prayer, he used this story. Suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight, wanting to borrow 3 loaves of bread. You say to him, A friend of mine has just arrived for a visit, and I have nothing for him to eat. And suppose he calls out from his bedroom, "Don't bother me. The door is locked for the night, and my family and I are all in bed. I can't help you. But I tell you this, though he won't do it for friendship's sake, if you keep knocking long enough, he will get up and give you whatever you need because of your shameless persistence. And so I tell you, keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For whoever asks, receives. Everyone who seeks, finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. You fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. After he finished praying, one of Jesus' disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John the Baptist taught his disciples." And in response to his disciple, Jesus taught them and taught us a prayer that we still pray today. The very prayer that we pray when we are together and when we are alone. The very prayer that we pray whether the day is momentous and celebratory or somber and filled with grief. Having learned to pray, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." In teaching us the Lord's Prayer, we are reminded that prayer is not a performance, nor is it intended to be filled with empty words. More so, it's about our connection with God and our connections with others. Yes, in this prayer, we are taught not only how to pray, but Jesus is also teaching us through the Lord's Prayer who God is and who we are and how we ought to relate with one another. But wait, there's more here. In particular, in Luke's gospel, in Luke's telling of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, Jesus pairs the Lord's Prayer with two related teachings. One teaching has to do with a friend who pays a late-night visit to another friend. And with the other lesson, Jesus encourages to keep on asking, for we will receive. To keep on seeking, for we will find. To keep on, for the door will be open. Each of these lessons relate to prayer. They speak to the necessity of persistence when it comes to prayer, all the while speaking of a God who is generous, who is benevolent and giving in nature. So we might consider, how does all of this fit together? How is it that God can be generous and giving while prayer requires persistence? How can we fit, or how can we reconcile all of this together? I invite you to take a moment this morning to consider, what is something or someone you prayed for that required persistence? Could be from a season of life ago. Could be from where your feet are today. What is something or someone you prayed for that required persistence? And what would it look like if prayer is more about than anything else our connection with God? George Buttrick, English-born, American-based preacher, author, and lecturer, is quoted as having written, "If God is not in the life of man or woman, poor, solitary, nasty, brutish, and short, prayer is the veriest self-deceit. If God is, yet is only known as a vague rumor and dark coercion, prayer is whimpering folly. It were nobler to die. But if God is, in some deep and eternal sense, like Jesus, friendship with him is our first concern. Worthiest art, best resource, and sublimest joy." In other words, what I hear Buttrick saying, especially in this context, is that prayer is about our relationship and our connection with God. So while it's tempting to consider or to attach prayer's relevance or effectiveness to the outcomes in our lives, I wonder if prayer is better understood in terms of being a means of grace, in terms of being a way to connect with God, our Creator, whose image we are created in, who is ready to open the door we knock on. Now, I'm aware that within our congregation, we have several families who are blessed on a regular basis with the opportunity to worship alongside multiple generations of one's own family. And if this is the case for you today, I apologize in advance if this next illustration hits a little too close to home. Nonetheless, over the past decade, I have begun to recognize a pattern in life. It's one that presents itself to one degree or another as an inevitability. We have any Star Wars fans among us? So you got a few. So I really only know the original episodes. Is that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, right? 4, 5, and 6. So Star Wars, the original, and there's the Death Star. And I don't know the technical term for it, but there was that beam that drew you into the Death Star, yes? The retractor beam. This sort of pattern in life is like that. You can resist it all you want, but sooner or later, you will give into it. So despite my most ardent vows as a teenager, despite my obstinance as a young adult, despite my arrogance in the ensuing decade, and my best effort today, I find that I am becoming like my parents. I fought it, but I'm noticing it now. I'm becoming a lot like my parents. Most recently, I observed this when one day I woke up and I had a corner in our home filled with plants. I'm not a plant guy. No one would accuse me of having green thumbs or my spouse of having green thumbs. And yet, a bit like my parents who have a room filled with plants and certifiable green thumbs, there I was, seemingly overnight, with a corner in our home with plants. While unlike my mother, whom I love, I refuse to talk to my plants. Though I will confess, I did greet them with a word or two one morning when my family was recently out of town, and I must have had a few extra words pent up within me. And so I greeted them in the morning. I didn't sing to them, but I said hello. Otherwise, I refused to talk to my plants. And yet, I still have a corner of the parsonage filled with plants. A pothos plant, and I don't even know if I'm saying that right, pothos plant, that I've somehow managed to keep alive since seminary. I have two cuttings of plumeria that my family brought back from Hawaii last year. Legally so, purchased it in a store, all sealed up. I have an orchid that had been given to Cara. An aloe plant that needs repotting, but that was gifted to me at the end of an appointment, pastoral appointment. And I have a sampaguita cutting, the national flower of the Philippines, from where my parents are from, and that is from my parents' plant. And though it's not pictured there, because I just recently moved it to that corner, I have the obligatory exotic bamboo shoots from IKEA. All in that corner. With growing affection and dedication, I've attended to these plants. I've installed a grow light to help their growth. Most of the time, or at least often enough, I make sure to water them. I've learned that that is important. And now, most every morning, I'll check in with them. Not talking with them, but checking with them to make note of their well-being and their growth. And along the way, I've learned that most of the time there's nothing instantaneous about house plants, nor are there guarantees. I can wish they grew faster. I could wish they bloom more frequently. I could wish they tolerated my neglect more often. But I have found that wishing on my part has little to do with what is. More often than not, I'm learning it's about my connection. That these plants are about my connection with them. And even on a deeper level, my connection with my parents. And believe it or not, my rootedness with the creator of these plants and all of creation. And lo and behold, in that small corner of the parsonage is something greater than I could have ever created on my own. Something greater than I could have ever plotted on my own. Even something greater than I imagined. So yes, daily I plan to keep checking in on them, and I'm excited to learn more about their ways. And I suspect I'll continue to gain a sense of being grounded by the connection that we share. And I'm discovering that prayer works much in the same way. I'm finding that prayer is less about us and even less about convincing God of what we want or what is best. And I'm still wrestling with its less than instantaneous nature, whether in praying for myself, whether in praying for people I love, whether in praying for others, whether in praying for the church, whether in praying for you at times individually. I'm still wrestling with it being less than instantaneous. But even with this being the case, I'm discovering more and more that prayer is about rooting us, grounding us in our relationship with God. If God is not, and the life of man, poor, solitary, nasty, brutish, and short, prayer is the veriest self-deceit. But if God is in some deep and eternal sense like Jesus, friendship with him is our first concern, worthiest art, best resource, and sublimest joy. End quote. Yes, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples, praying, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Amen. As we continue to consider Jesus' words in teaching us to pray, Let us gather together in our prayers this morning. Almighty and loving God, whose wisdom is beyond our comprehension, whose ways continue to be among us, in coming alongside Jesus and his disciples, we are reminded how we ought to pray. With words that praise you and give you thanks. With words that look for daily sustenance. Words of forgiveness. Words seeking your leading. And as we consider the nature of prayer, O Lord, we also consider the seasons in each of our lives, some of them in the present, some stretching to the past. But those seasons in life wherein life itself and our connection with you required persistence. And for some of us, O Lord, whether today or in the past, those seasons are seasons of struggle. And with Jesus we pray, my God, why have you forsaken me? And yet for some of us for whom that season is in the past, in looking back, we see that you have not forsaken us, but that you have walked alongside us. Indeed, as the poem suggests, that you have at times even carried us. And yet you know, O Lord, that there are some among us for whom those seasons of persistence are where we find ourselves today. Times when we wish prayer might be more instantaneous, where we wish prayer might be more clear, where we even wish that prayer might bring about our desires. Lord, in this moment, help us to surrender and indeed open our hearts, our mind, our spirit to yours. We pray this for one another. We pray this for our community and our state. That more and more we might see your presence and be a part of your work. We pray this for our country and the world. That more eyes would see, more ears hear, more eyes know your grace and your presence and your freedom. All this we pray, having been taught to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Church, at this time, I invite you to stand as we sing a song that will help us to go out into the world and to be brave enough to start knocking at God's door. This hymn is Seek Ye First. We will sing verses 1 and 2. Shall be.
Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you.
So if you walk into my office here at the church, there's a couch. And on the back of that couch is a quilt that one of our church members made for me the first time I was here, taking t-shirts from past mission trips with a youth and sewing them into a quilt. And if you look above that couch and that quilt, there's a frame on that wall. And it has an image of Muhammad Ali from the back doing some training, running down a misty road with plants, trees on the side. And on that frame is the two simple words, keep going. Keep going. I purchased this frame during a particularly tough time in life and ministry. And I needed the reminder to keep going. And I remember praying through that time, wishing, wanting, sometimes expecting God to do something big, to show me right away a different path, to put my feet somewhere else so I can no longer find myself where I was. And you know what happened when I prayed? Nothing instantaneous. No signs, no calling in the night. No great course correction. But somehow, some way, by God's grace, I kept going. And I find my feet in a very different place today. So where are you on this road? Where are you in your prayer? Where are you in your relationship or your connection with God? And by God's grace, may we keep going. Amen. Amen. Amen.